Thank you for tuning in to Investment Insight presented by McKay Wealth Advisory. My name is Hayden Prophet. Joining us today, we have Brent McKay. And Brent, kind of uncomfortable topic that we hit on from time to time is estates and estate taxes and the importance of prior planning and wills, trusts, different sorts of things. But I think let's hit on the estate part, just sure. The estate and how that is derived.
And obviously, so estates, of course, are the situation where you go through probate. So upon your death, there's a typically a probate process where, you know, anything that's real property that you don't have beneficiary designations on will go through an estate. Under the current tax law, you have to have over $13,610,000 in 2024. Above that, to have any taxes for estate tax, but if you go above it, it's 40%. Under the current law, spouses get double that amount of money mm-hmm. they can pass on tax-free. But there is a caveat there that if your spouse dies, you are supposed to claim
their half
within 9 months. But there is apparently an exclusion where you can go up to 5 years, which we're not attorneys, so we won't go into that. But you do have to claim your spouse's $13 million in credits. Now, this really matters. You know, as we shoot this video, you know, the 2024 election is in sight. And whoever wins that election could affect this estate tax law because those levels are going to go down from the $13 million to lower amounts in 2026 without some legislation. So a lot of people don't think they need to worry about the estate tax. They think they're not affected, and they're not affected right now. But in 2026, they could very easily be affected. If you have property that's appreciated, if you have assets that's gone up, that can really affect your estate tax liability. From our standpoint, most of our customers pay estate taxes connected to the type of investments they own. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize, if you have an annuity, which we're not a big proponent of annuities, but if you have a non-qualified annuity, let's say you put $100,000 in there, and let's say it grew to $200,000, that's $100,000 in income you've not paid taxes on. Upon your death, guess what? Your heirs get to pay taxes on that $100,000. Unless you do a 1035 exchange, which some annuity products allow and some do not. I know my own grandmother had that same situation occur where she had bought an annuity. She had a very low income, didn't pay any taxes. And all of a sudden, here's a 1099 going to my parents and me where this money, all this income has come out. And we got to pay taxes on money that, you know, if she'd pulled a little bit out each year, there would have been no taxes.
Right.
So you have to worry about that. The other option, of course, is IRAs. Under the current law, there's some guidance that's been supposedly coming for the last 2.5 years from the IRS, but there's a 10-year rule. That means when you inherit an IRA and you're over the age of 18, you have 10 years to pull it out. If you're under the age of 18, it's basically however many years to your 18 based on your life expectancy. So if you're 7, so 11 years plus 10, so you can pull the money out based on some different calculations. But a lot of times, even though that's not subject to estate tax, that money comes out as income. So now it's subject to
income tax.
And so there are some tax planning mechanisms you can use, like converting traditional IRA money to Roth IRAs so that your kids will not have to pay taxes on that money as income when they get it. So there's some tools that are very effective to lowering your estate tax burden. And, you know, part of it's that big $13 million number, but most of the people get hit on the IRAs and the annuities. Those are the two things that hit most of our customers, or taxes on those things.
All right, so explain to me step-up cost basis relative to this.
Okay, so with estate planning, one of the neat things about, of course, you don't want to die, but one of the neat plans about dying is you get what's called a stepped-up cost basis. So your beneficiaries, your heirs, they get to basically get what the value is now, not what you paid for it. So it's a great tax loophole. You know, a lot of people complain about the estate tax, but no one ever complains about a stepped up cost basis. And so, like, if you look at this building here, let's say I paid $237,500 for it. Well, I bought this building 14 years ago. So I've depreciated out about half of that value because it doesn't include the land, just the building value. And so my basis is going to be really low. Well, now let's say the building's worth $1 million. Well, if I was to die and the property was held between me and Susie, my wife, then she would get a 50% step up in the cost basis. So now, you know, my basis would go up to $500,000. Hers would be $500,000. Plus, she would take what was left on the, you know, original, which would be Susie's basis. So her basis would be 60 plus my 500. So now 560 would be the number. And so then she could now redepreciate out $560,000, which means upon my death, Hayden, if you ran the business, she would charge you rent. She could then depreciate that rent against the 560, and then the money you would be paying her would now be considerably tax-free because she'd have all that rental income up to $560,000, depending upon how it was all structured over years, right, that she would not have to pay taxes on. And so one of the things a lot of people forget is when their spouse dies, they get a 50% step up in Tennessee. You know, one of the things Jonathan talked about earlier in one of the previous videos was community property trust. Mm-hmm. If you don't do a community property trust, that doesn't mean you don't get stepped up cost basis. If you're married, you still get it. And of course, if, you know, then as Susie dies, it steps up to a full 100% value. So let's say now it was $1 million when I died, and let's say it's $1.5 million when she dies. Well, now it's $1.5 million, which means our kids would get to either sell the building at no cost or redepreciate it out $1,500,000.
Right.
So one of the neatest things about the estate taxes is that stepped up cost basis. But you got to remember, within 9 months of a spouse's death, you have to do the paperwork grabbing that step up basis. And the IRS does have apparently an exclusion where you can go up to 5 years after the fact and get that. So right, if you've not done that already, you might want to do that. And if you know somebody that maybe their spouse had died, this is a topic that they need to be aware of if they've got some properties or some investments where they can get that step up basis.
Yeah, I think it's one of those prior planning tools that if you're going through a list of things, nobody wants to think about dying in estates and stuff, but it is reality, right? It's one of those things that you have to consider. But if you added just that to the list of, hey, don't forget to claim the half of the estate, don't forget to claim the step up basis, I think it's one of those things to just add to the list.
Absolutely.
On that.
So that's one of the big parts of estate planning is the stepped up basis is a big benefit for people on estates, for sure.
Yeah. And then Medicaid in relation to estates. Can you hit on that just a little bit?
Sure. So a lot of people, one of the biggest things we hear daily is, look, I've worked really hard for all this money. I want to make sure my kids get something. So how can I put my money in something to where it would be free from Medicaid or TennCare coming in and getting that money, to pay for my needs? And so obviously one of the things we talked about in previous video is a trust, an irrevocable trust, the many different types of those. Once you move your assets into an irrevocable trust, it is then owned by that trust. So if you have assets outside of IRAs, outside of retirement accounts, those are some assets that are quite easily usually movable into a trust. And under the current law, you can get up to $13.6 million away to anybody you want using your lifetime gift credit. Now, that's above the $18,000, no paperwork required credit. You can give away that much money. So you can give that money away to a trust, and then that money will not be a part of your estate, because you don't own it, the trust is. Now, you're the beneficiary of it. You get the benefits from it, but you don't actually own it. And as long as you have done that within that five-year rule for Medicaid, then that money is not yours. And so that money will not be subject to that. And that's one of the number one things people fear is, I want to make sure my kids get this money.
Right.
I want to make sure they get this money. I don't want this money going, to pay for healthcare needs.
Right. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for tackling the topic of estate taxes, and thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope you have a great day.